Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, May 31st, 2009. It is now 8:01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, I invite you to call 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. Folks, we have five open lines. Call in with any question or comment, even if it's a criticism. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me anytime. comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. And that two is a numeric two, so it's mytwocentsonline.com. In his weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com. In fact, I was his guest last week. And it worked out, I think, very well. I really enjoyed it. Andy's a bright guy who really understands economics and can really help you understand what is truly going on. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good evening, everyone. This evening, we do not have a guest this Sunday. We typically do have a guest on Sunday, or we have recently. This will be a short broadcast for a couple of reasons. First of all, I'm still not healed from my bicycle accident, and it still hurts like heck. And secondly, my throat is sore again. So I'm going to have an abbreviated broadcast and hopefully at least make a point. But I still would love to hear from you. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620. Please call in any comments, questions, criticisms, you name it. I don't care if you're libertarian or not. Makes no difference. And we'll discuss it. Today's commentary will be on... Oh, by the way, one other thing. Mike Beitler, who I interviewed about 5 weeks ago or so, was traveling through Tulsa, and he stopped, and we had coffee this morning. I thought that was kind of neat, coming in from North Carolina. And we stopped at a Starbucks, and we must have talked for about 2 or 3 hours. And it was really kind of neat meeting him. He's a wonderful person. I mean, really enjoyed his company. And I think we'll be friends for life. Isn't that nice? You know, you meet somebody over the radio, interview him, and all of a sudden he becomes a friend of yours. And we had some very interesting talk on business philosophy. Of course, he comes from a very technical aspect of business philosophy, and I come from a very street smart business philosophy, and it was just very, very interesting. Anyway, I think we complemented each other extremely well. I want to talk a little bit about this evening about fixing the economy. Folks, we hear about this from our narcissistic president, that he is going to fix the economy. You know, I would like this narcissistic president of ours to please tell me, what does he mean by the economy? And how is he going to fix it? Does he have a screwdriver and a hammer and a pair of pliers that he's going to twist and turn and maybe put new wires in it or something? You know, I just don't understand that at all. When he says he's going to fix the economy, or the economy needs fixing, First of all, I know we have definitions of the economy, but no one can truly define the economy. The economy, what is, I mean, think about it. The economy is simply a sum total of all transactions made. And these transactions are made by human beings. In other words, he would have to understand how every human being thinks. I mean, how the body, the millions or billions of neurological transactions that occur in our minds, and how we're going to react about everything, so that he would be able to make decisions. I mean, that's beyond playing God. And I have a real problem with this guy when he says the economy needs fixing, and he's the man. He's the man that can do it. You know, when we get up in the morning and we, you know, we decide to brush our teeth, you know, that's an economic decision. You say, why is brushing teeth an economic decision? Well, because we'll be consuming some toothpaste. Now, we may elect not to use toothpaste and just use a toothbrush, but that again is an economic decision. We may decide, instead of using in a full a line of a toothpaste covering the entire toothbrush, we are going to conserve and just use half. Another economic decision. And there's a reason why we do that. But the reason why we do that is proprietary to every person alive. And it's different for every person alive. Understand that, and as Richard Mayberry said in a conference on May 2nd, 2009, at the Wealth Protection Conference, he said, you know, what Obama doesn't understand is that the economy is not a machine. And I could not agree more. And he said, these are biological beings, biological organisms that are making decisions based on billions of complex neural reactions, you know, impulses in our body. And the culmination of that is to react a certain way to every single situation. And, you know, we make decisions almost every minute of the day, and maybe more so than every minute of the day, on what we are doing. You know, we elect to go to work. We elect to go to school or not go to school. I mean, everything. We elect to eat out or eat home. We elect to turn the heat up in the house, turn the heat down in the house. I mean, all of these decisions, and it's different for everyone. Now, you could say, well, people are turning the heat down because they want to save electricity. Well, that's probably true for some people. For some people, it's not. Some people, they're ecologically minded, and whatever the case may be. My point being is that when he says he's going to fix this, what is he going to fix? Is he going to come to everyone and sort of play with our minds? I mean, I don't understand what he means he's going to fix it. Oh, that means he's going to pump money into the economy? So we wind up with more cash floating around, and then we make decisions accordingly. In this speech that Richard Mayberry made, he also talks another thing, and this is critical, because this is compatible with fixing the economy, is that it's not so much how much money is placed into the economy. It depends on the velocity of money. Now, folks, this is Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620. You can really assist me by calling in because I'm losing my voice, and I have 20 minutes to go. I would appreciate it. Just call in to say hello. That would be fine. Call in to criticize me. Tell me how bad I am. That would be fine also. I won't get angry. But the velocity of money. Now, for those of you who don't understand the velocity of money, it's very simple. Let's say you, the government prints a dollar bill, and you are the first recipient of that dollar bill. If you take that dollar bill and put it in your safe deposit box, or put it home in your little safe or your piggy bank or whatever you do, right, and decide that you are going to save it because you didn't trust what's going to happen. You were concerned about the future, and you wanted to save the dollar for a rainy day. That dollar has zero velocity. Now, there's a scale for velocity, and I'm not going to get into that, but just say the velocity is zero because it didn't go anywhere. Now, the government could print. Let's assume the government printed $1 trillion and gave $1 trillion out. But everyone was so skeptical of the economy and not absolutely convinced that Obama can, in fact, fix the economy, that he doesn't have the right size screwdriver to fix the economy. Right? And so this $1 trillion, and we're all given $100,000 each, or whatever the number is, and I'm not going to do the equation, you know, but the mathematics on that. And we all took the money the government gave, and we put it in our safe at home, buried it in the backyard, put it in a fence post, as the farmers would do during the Depression, because they didn't trust anyone, and they needed money because in case of an emergency, and they didn't want to spend it in fear that they would never make any more because things were so bad. And this is what's happening today. What would happen to that $1 trillion? How would that stimulate things? How would that induce people to buy? Well, see, if you think you're fixing the economy by putting all this money into the economy, you know, and you think for a second that by giving people money, they will spend it, you're playing God again. Now, our narcissistic president likes to play God. But what would happen, and this is exactly what happened when our first stimulus check was given to us, we didn't go out and spend. We either saved it or paid off some bills. So it really didn't go out there to make anything new. It just helped us going into default. So nothing changed. The only thing that did change is the government created more money, placed us more in debt, you know, and debased the currency. So this is what they accomplished. They said, well, it didn't work. We should do it again. Or we're going to do it a different way. Well, they think that the economy is a machine, that they press lever one, this happens. Lever two, that happens. They don't realize that we are biological organisms and we are reacting and acting in our own best interest. And when we react in our own best interest, those interests are proprietary to us. They are not universal. I may be the only one reacting in a certain way to a certain stimulus, different than everybody else in the world. Now, how is this narcissistic president going to know that? He doesn't, folks. And so when he says he's going to fix the economy, I'd like this narcissistic president to please tell me what he means by the economy. I'd like for him to define the economy. And then I'd like for him to tell me exactly how it's going to work. Not that, oh, we put money in there and people go out and spend and everything will be fine. Not political garbage, but tell me exactly, person by person, what decisions they will make and how will they use that money. See, he can't do that. See, he thinks he's God, but I'm sorry, he ain't. He's just not. And yet, people are looking to him as our savior, someone who can do something. I'm not picking on him so much, although I think he's the most narcissistic president that we've had in a long time. But all of the congressional members of Congress, for decades, going back to Calvin Coolidge, thought this was the case. Calvin Coolidge was probably the first president who said, not my problem, don't know what to do, not our responsibility, not doing anything about it. And the economy did just fine, thank you. It wasn't until Hoover, where Hoover said, I know better. I know better than everyone making individual decisions on exactly how to get the economy really rolling. And he started destroying it. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt came into office, he exasperated it. He put it in hyperdrive. And what did people do during the Depression? When the government started to increase from 1933 to 1945, the amount of money in the system, and I forgot the figures, went from $30 billion to $89 billion or something like that. That's not a lot of money today, but back then it was a lot of money. And all that money went in, but yet the amount of money in circulation decreased because people took the money and they put it away. And the velocity of that money was zero. In other words, it disappeared. It's almost as if people took the money and burnt it. You know, threw it away in the garbage pail and went to the landfill. Now, the velocity of money is high when people are optimistic and they exchange this money for goods or services. And it's given to somebody else, and that same dollar is given to somebody else, and it keeps on exchanging. And there's a certain thing, you know, the velocity per month, velocity per year on a dollar and stuff like that. I don't know the formulas, but you get the point. And you see, Barack Obama does not understand velocity, and neither does he understand the fact that we are biological organisms, all acting very, very selfishly for our own best interest. And that's the way it should be. I'm not condemning it at all. That's exactly the way it should be. And he thinks he can fix an economy, something of which he does not even understand. Now, folks, this is 8:15 already. I only got 15 minutes to go. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to lose my voice very soon. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. I'm Joe Cristiano. I'm your host this evening for Liberty Talk Radio. Pardon me. Let's take GM, for example. Could you imagine that he actually knows what to do about GM? He knows who should head GM. He even knows how many miles per gallon the car should have, the CAFE standards. Just think about that. You know, now that General Motors is GM, is Government Motors, who do you think will buy a car, a GM? You want to, quite frankly, I mean, I had no problem buying a GM. Now that GM stands for Government Motors, I wouldn't buy a GM car for all the tea in China. I just wouldn't do it. I matter of principle. If it's owned 70% owned by the government, I don't want any part of it. And you know what? A lot of people feel that way. Now, am I being spiteful? Maybe yes. You know, am I being protective? Maybe yes. Am I acting in my own self-interest? I think so. So what do? You know, I might buy a Ford. I might buy some other car. I may buy a Mazda. But I'm not going to buy a GM. Now, if GM is owned by General Motors, by the government, and they continue to lose market share, what are they going to do? Think about it. It's owned by the government, and they lose market share. They don't care, because they're owned by the government. So the government just says, keep on building cars. Keep on building cars people don't want. Now, the government will not allow GM to go under, because then the government will be the one that failed. Not General Motors, but remember, General Motors now owns 73% or something like that by the government, or will be, right? That means the government and the government has never failed and never made a mistake. So what now the government will do is just supply it, just print more money and keep it going. In other words, they will continue to produce cars that people don't want, will not buy. And now what we will be doing is that my money will be going to the government so the government can keep General Motors going, and that impoverishes me, which gives me less money to buy a car. A car of which would not be a Government Motors car, a GM car. Think how that absolutely, totally distorts and destroys the marketplace. I am paying for a car now. I will be paying for a car that I will never buy and don't want and shouldn't even be made in the first place. But you know, the narcissistic president that we have is going to fix the economy. That about drives me nuts. I mean, drives me absolutely stark raving mad nuts. You know, I've come to a point in life where I realize that there are things that I know that I know. I mean, everyone knows what they know. And people generally understand, know what they don't know. I don't know brain surgery, for example. I mean, I don't understand rocket science. But the most important thing, and I learned this by this fellow that gave a speech one time, a couple of weeks ago. He says, the important thing is that we don't know what we don't know. And the more I reflect on that, the more I realize I don't know anything. And I shouldn't assume I know anything at all, because I don't know what I don't know. Now, why am I bringing that into this conversation? Well, because our politicians act as if they know what they know, there's very little that they don't know, and there ain't nothing that they don't know that they don't know. In other words, our politicians are all-knowing. And they have the answer to everything. Now, this narcissistic president of ours goes from one subject to another. He goes from the Palestinian issue to abortion rights to Korea to bailing out General Motors, bailing out the financials. I mean, he bounces from subject to subject. Now, you know, no one knows any one of those subjects very well, or as well as they should. And the fact is that those subjects should be left alone to solve themselves, because there are many, many biological organisms who are experts who are doing exactly that, that know that are in that field, whether it be Palestinians themselves, and they can work it out, or the financial experts know how to work out the credit default swaps, etc. But our politicians now have none of that part of that pie that I was talking about, that they don't know what they don't know. They know everything. And our narcissistic president takes that position. And whether or not we're biological organisms making very complex, having complex thoughts and patterns, which result in us making an economic decision, he knows better than that. In fact, he knows every decision. It's almost like the people who say, oh, God knows everything, everything's going to happen, so does Barack Obama. And, you know, people buy that, and that's a shame. He goes from subject to subject to subject. I mean, you know, problem. And what the sad part is that he should not even be involved in any of those projects. He shouldn't be involved in the Palestinian issue. We should not be giving money to Israel, so we should not be. Israel should not be a subject of concern for us. Israel is Israel. Let them work themselves out. No problem. And Palestinians, the same thing there. As far as aid is concerned, we don't give aid. You know, we'll sell them stuff. We'll have a business transaction. But it won't be the government. It'll be individuals. Individual biological organisms. And not the president who thinks he can fix everything with his screwdriver. Now, folks, we have a real problem if we think that we can elect individuals in Congress, or in the executive branch of our government, who can actually fix things. They cannot. There's only one thing and one thing only that they can do, and that is they can ensure that our rights and our freedoms and our liberty are not inhibited, that they remain free and are not abused by anyone else. That's the only thing they can do. And they can do that very well. Because, see, that's one of those things that they know. And they should do that. But they keep on doing things that they know that they don't know, and especially things that they don't know what they don't know. And I think that's a fascinating concept. But we have a situation. There's my dog in the background. Isn't that nice? He's barking. I think my wife is going to take care of him right now. But I really want us to think. I want us to think about that. Just think about how we think someone can fix anything. No one can fix me. And as I get older, I realize I cannot fix anybody. I don't give anyone advice on anything because I don't know. Because there are things that I should know that I don't know. And there are things that I don't know about that person, so I can't help. I can just do the best that I can do. I can be the, as sort of like the Army slogan, be the best that you can be type thing. And that's the only thing that I can do. But I can't do it for anyone else. And as my friend told my son one time, when we were having a conversation when he was having a problem with his band, he says, you know, Paul, I can't fix, and he was, I guess, looking for advice. He says, you know, Paul, I can't fix you. That sounded cruel, didn't it? I'm sorry, I can't fix you. And he was absolutely correct. Well, my son Paul is a sharp guy. He figured it out. And then things are going very well now. No one fixed him. He knew what he had to do. He had to make some tough decisions, and it worked out very well. And I'm very proud of him for it. But my friend who gave him that advice was very correct. We can't fix other people. And Barack Obama wants individually to fix 300 million people. Boy, what a feat. I'd say if he was God, it would be tough. So he's playing like super God. And I don't know why we can't see around that. I don't see why we cannot see through this and why we listen to him, why we even turn on the television sets and give it 1 minute of our time. I would not do that for anything. I would not waste my time. My time on Earth is finite. The only thing that we can do as human beings is die. That's the only thing that we can do. Period. There's nothing else. So with this short time they have on this life, on this planet, I don't think I want to sit in front of a boob tube listening to someone tell me how they're going to fix the economy. They can't fix the economy. They never will. And all they can do is destroy things. And I want to give you an excerpt from the speech that Richard Mayberry said. Yeah, hold on. Yes? Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah. Excuse me, I was just getting advice. And he says here, it cannot be any other way when the advisors here... and he also mentions that there are different... When he says he has financial advisors, the one thing I'm sure he doesn't ask, and we're not sure if he asks, is whether or not a person has a socialistic philosophy, a Keynesian philosophy, an Austrian philosophy. These are all economic philosophies. And you may be an economist, but if you have a philosophy as an Austrian economics philosopher versus a socialist, I mean, they're totally different. So when he says he's getting advice, from the top economist, the thing he doesn't say, he says, I'm getting advice from a Keynesian economist. I'm getting advice from an Austrian economist. You see, first of all, I don't think he knows. And secondly, I don't think he would ask those people. I think he would ask those of Keynesian persuasion or socialistic persuasion. It's an interesting point. And he mentions that in this speech. And let me see that part that I wanted to mention Richard is the one that wrote the little book called entitled Whatever Happened to the Penny Candy. He wrote the book for his high school students to understand economics. And by the way, I read the book and it was fascinating. And I can't find the segment that I wanted to read to you. It's amazing. When I'm on the air, I get stuff that's in front of me, and then I pick it up, and I can find absolutely nothing when I pick it up for some reason. But what he mentions is that, Yeah, here it is. Finally, I got it. Thank you very much for being patient with me. He said, I'm sure if we gave federal economists control of the Amazon rainforest, it would never occur to them to just leave it alone. Now, I'm reading this verbatim. The first thing they do is set up an official Amazon Federal Reserve and start arguing about the formulas they'd use every 6 weeks to loosen or tighten the supply of water. 100 years later, the Amazon rainforest would be a lifeless desert, 2 million square miles of sand. The most complex thing ever discovered is the human brain and the economy. The human ecology is comprised of 6.8 billion of those brains. So does Obama understand that the economy is an ecology? Well, just listen to the terminology he uses. He has said, and these are his actual words, the economy has structural problems. It's locked up. It's out of balance. It's sluggish. It's frozen. It's slow. It's clogged up. The man thinks he's a plumber. The next topic, Obama and the mainstream press seem not to understand his economic models. And he goes into that. But you see my point. My point is that he thinks he knows what he doesn't know. In other words, he doesn't realize that there's a lot that he doesn't know that he doesn't know. And he thinks he knows everything. So there's not much that he doesn't know. So he knows everything. So basically he's playing God. I think a narcissistic person like that is incredibly dangerous to our well-being and to our economy. I mean, just to everyone involved. And I'm afraid people are going to become accustomed to that and expect all of our leaders to do the same. But every time we accept a leader such as Barack Obama, the next one, we will expect more from that person. In other words, not giving us more of our own liberties so we can make decisions. You know, we are the biological organisms that make up this thing that is known as the economy, trillions of transactions that are made every day. But we are going to expect more and more control over our lives, you know, by the people that we elect. And that's going to be a very, very sad day for America and for the world. And especially for us. Folks, this is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio, 646-652-4620. I'm going to conclude right now. I know we went over 30 minutes, but I am losing my voice. And I haven't received any call-ins. I really wish someone would call in, 646-652-4620, and help me out a little bit so I don't have to totally lose my voice for tomorrow. I guess that's going to be it. Okay, this is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Grant Shakers Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal." The government hates competition. And with that, until next time, and that'll be Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m., I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.